Blog Talk Radio.
True believers, and welcome to the latest episode of Trundlebed Tales. And this is episode 146, Laura Ingalls Wilder's on-air birthday party 2024. Now, let me just quick go through our normal introduction. Welcome to Trundlebed Tales, the podcast about Laura Ingalls Wilder, historic foodways, one room schools, and other social history. This is Sarah Utoss, the host and creator of Trundlebed Tales. Find us all around the web under Trundlebed Tales and on your favorite social media platform. If you listen or just have an account on a podcast system, please leave positive feedback because it helps people find the show. And this is episode 146, Laura Ingalls Wilder's on-air birthday program. So, I am going to do our housekeeping. And that is to just let you know that whenever I have one of these episodes that I do, you can sure call in. Tonight is the one night a year that I really need people to call in, so I hope you do. And again, the number is 714-242-5253. That's 714-242-5253. Or toll free 1-877-633-9389. That's toll free 1-877-633-9389. And I told the chat to start, so hopefully it is. And before we get to actually talking to people, which we actually have some people online waiting, yay, so we will get to be doing some talking with people. But just so you know, first off, I've got a brand new microphone ear muff thing going on, so I hope the sound is good tonight. If it isn't, please let me know so I can figure out what to do instead. Also, I had just done a previous episode where I was talking about going to Mansfield, and there was a major problem with the sound, and it just kind of went nuts. And I figured out how to fix it, but I'm going to have to redo the episode. I was hoping I was going to get it done before tonight. That did not happen, but it should happen before the end of the week. We'll get a new copy of that that you can actually hear, which would be nice. And so I've got a couple of videos ready to go, and that'll be coming later this month. And I think that is, oh, and I should mention, because they were latecomers on my February post about Laura Ingalls Wilder events around the country, that Walnut Grove, the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum in Walnut Grove, Minnesota, did have a birthday party tonight, complete with cake. I would love some cake. That would be great. They had that tonight, 5 to 7, so they're just finished up. And also the Pomona Public Library in Pomona, California, who has been having the longest running Laura Ingalls Wilder gingerbread birthday sociable. They started in 1967 and they haven't reopened since 2020, I am sorry to say, but they are trying to bring it back. So those were two things that I hadn't gotten done quite yet. And with that, I think that's the end of our housekeeping. So how this is going to work in general is I've got a couple of prompts here about things that I think other Laura fans would be interested in hearing from you about how you discovered Laura and her books. What's your favorite story from the books? What's the best thing in your Laura collection? What's your favorite edition of the books? What's the craziest thing you did because it was a little house thing, like a place visited, a craft tried, a book read? And I actually do have quite a few people holding today, but we are going to start out with Michelle Underwood from Mansfield, Missouri. And she'll be coming on. Michelle, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here.
Yay. So why don't you start out and tell people who you are?
Okay. Well, like Sarah said, my name is Michelle Underwood. I don't actually live in Mansfield right now, but I live in a town nearby named Seymour, Missouri. But I did grow up in Mansfield, Missouri, and I work at the Laura Ingalls Wilder Home and Museum there, where I give tours of both of Laura's houses on the property, the farmhouse and the rock house. I also work in the museum, selling tickets, working in the bookstore. And then in the winter months, the off season, like now, I become the museum specialist. So I work with the curator to maintain and clean all of the exhibits and artifacts, which includes all of Laura's special things, and take care of the houses. So that's what I do.
And this year you did something special, right?
I did, yeah. I wrote a book, a new book. I've written a couple of children's books that have been published over the past few years. But this past year, I actually wrote a book about Laura. I told my publisher that I just felt like all of the books that could be written about Laura had been done already. But then I got an idea about a year and a half ago, actually, and it was while I was giving tours of the houses. We only have a limited amount of time. If you've ever visited the museum, we have a limited amount of time as a tour guide to get the group through the homes and give them as much information as we possibly can and answer all the questions. Well, it's still usually not enough time for true Laura fans that want to know so much more. And so I started to think about that, and I thought there's just so many questions that are unanswered that people want to know, mysteries, places you don't get to visit in the homes and things like that. And I started thinking, well, maybe I could write a book about that and answer all of those questions and mysteries, and also tell the Laura fans about another side of Laura. Yes, she wrote the Little House books, and, you know, all of that is about her childhood, but I kind of wanted to go into her life in Mansfield, and because I had that connection growing up in Mansfield, I knew a lot more about that side of it and was able to talk to a lot of people that hadn't personally known her, but, you know, they had family members that had known Laura. And so I kind of went at it from that angle just to give people something that they hadn't read about before in Laura books. So it's out now, and it's doing very well, and I'm really excited about it. But the name of it, I'll mention that, it's called Laura Ingalls Wilder's Rocky Ridge Farm, A Detailed Look Behind the Scenes.
And it's about how many pages, do you know?
202 pages.
Okay. Well, it's a really impressive book. I've got a copy, I am pleased to say. And we are going to talk to you about a little bit more about those stories, but right now we're going to talk to one of the other people who are waiting, and we will come back to you, Michelle.
Great.
All right. Area code 513, you're on the air. Welcome to Laura's birthday party.
Hey, Sarah. It's Lori. Go for it.
Oh, hi, Lori. How are you?
Good. It's so great that you have this off year.
I hope so far we've got callers, so that is always a good thing. Did you have a Laura story to share today about, you know, how you found Laura or something cool you did or something cool in your collection?
I just really wanted to remind people that there's the virtual Laura Palooza on Saturday and that there is still time to sign up and renew your membership. We're really excited about this program we have.
Okay, do you want to tell people a little bit about that in case they don't know about the Laura Ingalls Wilder Legacy and Research Association?
Sure. We have, as Sarah was our former president, and now I'm a former board member, but it's the LIWLRA, and we put every 2 to 3 years an in-person conference. If you listen Saturday, you might find out where we're thinking for the next conference in 2025. But we're decided that, you know, it's just so long every 2 to 3 years, so that we're going to have a virtual conference this Saturday. Jim Hicks, who's a longtime conference favorite, is going to be speaking, and Robin Miller, who has just come out with the book Tennessee Wildcat about looking for Mr. Edwards, they are going to be speaking along with a few other surprises in there. It's available to members, but anyone can join. It's just a $30 membership fee, and you get this conference, several other online events, our newsletter, and you'll be the first to know any of the details as we release them for the conference next year.
And Lori, do you want to tell them a little bit about your online programs? Is that one a month or one every other month? I don't remember. Sorry.
No, and we're trying to this year thinking once a season, just because, as you well know, planning the in-person conference takes a lot of effort, and so that we can focus on that and also, you know, help build the excitement and making sure that, as your last caller said, you know, how many books can there be written? How many speakers can speak? So we don't necessarily want somebody to give you the presentation this year when it would be just so much more fun in person next summer. So we're still deciding on the number.
Well, those are really nice. And I really do think that is a definite reason for people who aren't planning on going to conference to join, is to have access to those online sessions. So I was glad you're doing the online event, the all-day one. And I think I am set up to be there Saturday. We will have to see.
Yeah. As I say, I think I saw your name on the sign-up list when I was going through last night.
Now, that is a great story all in itself, but do you have a Laura story for one of the questions on our list? What, you know, do you have a story about how you met Laura or the coolest thing you have?
I was going to say, I think as I shared online, I just remember watching a film strip at the end of second grade and talking about, you know, this book, this woman named Laura had written about her childhood. And it's just really a fuzzy memory of the film strip. But I remember thinking, when the library opens in the fall, I will have to check those books out. And I checked
those
books out.
Well, that's pretty impressive. You remembered all summer.
Yeah, I don't know why it stuck with me, but it's like, I want to do that. And I remember like kind of going to the library and thinking, oh, I wanted to do that, and grabbing one of the books.
Well, I have two film strips, and I think there is a third one that I do not have a copy of, but I also have two film strip projectors. So as long as one of them works, you ever come by, we can watch them and see if you can figure out if it was one of those two.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing about.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just kind of remember, like, covered wagon image.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am going to put you back in the green room because we've got another caller. If you want to hang out, that is great, and we may come back to you if there's time. But if you just wanted to say about Saturday, then that's fine, too. So...
Yeah.
All right.
I
so
think
okay.
I will hang out if you need
good.
To. So.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks.
So that gives us to area code 870. And we're watching the little circle go over. There we go. Area code 870, you are on the air for Laura's birthday party. I'm not hearing anything yet. And the phone number, hello?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air with the birthday party. Did you have a Laura story to share?
I do. I first discovered the Laura Ingalls book when I was 9 years old. And my next door neighbor lady, she was already in her late 80s, early 90s at that time, and she is the one who introduced me to the books. And I've always remembered that little grandmother lady because she read the whole series to me, and she had just such a great storytelling voice, and I still have my same books that I acquired, you know, at a very young age. And I just wanted to sit in and listen to the conversation.
Well, thank you so much. Your neighbor, were you reading, was she reading copies of the books you had, or did she have a set of the books?
She had her own set. Yep, she had her own set. And I'm 59 now, so that tells you, you know, I was 9. So that's been 50 years ago.
That is sad. We're not going for sad stories. It sounds like it was really nice she could share that with you. Were her books the Helen Sewell kind or the Garth Williams kind?
I believe they were the Garth Williams. If I'm not mistaken, it was so long ago. I just remember her, you know, going to her house every day and mm-hmm. and her reading me, you know, the books and introducing me to Laura Ingalls, and growing up and as an adult being able to go to Mansfield and visit, and it was wonderful.
Well, that sounds like it was a great thing that she could do to share that with you.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get to go to Mansfield?
I went to Mansfield back I think it was 2014. So a few years ago.
I'm glad you got to go. I really do think it's a great place for every Laura fan to get to make a trip.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So I am going to put you back in the green room, and then we are going to bring Michelle. And I am talking slow because it takes the buttons a minute to react. But there, all right, there we go. Michelle's back. So Michelle, why don't
yes.
you tell us a little bit more about if somebody was visiting Mansfield, what would they see? Where do you start out doing your tour at Mansfield?
Well, once they actually make it to the museum, a lot of people tend to get lost, come through town. The community has tried to do a little bit better of signage. And so there is a small sign now when you approach the square that it points an arrow in the direction of the museum. So you follow that arrow on a highway. You're going to go out of town about a mile. And then you'll see the sign that says Laura Ingalls Wilder Highway. And once you pass that, then on your right, you're going to see a big white barn. It's not really a barn. It's the museum. And so you're going to pull into that parking lot, go on up the steps, and then you're going to be in that museum. And it's absolutely beautiful, I think, in my opinion. They opened up that new museum in 2016, and it is just so nice, and I love working there. So once you go through that door, then you're going to be in the main lobby, and you'll see right away where to go. You'll go to the ticket desk, and that's going to be where you start. But there are things to see that a lot of people stop before they even make it to that ticket desk, exhibits and artifacts. To look at the gift shops on the left. You know, kids, once the kids come in, they head straight to the gift shop, of course, you know, to see what's in there. But you get your ticket. Whoever is at the ticket desk is going to give you a lot of information. I think a lot of visitors coming don't realize how much there actually is there to see and to do. But they give you everything that you need to know. You get a map, and it gives all the times of the tours. They are scheduled tours because, you know, the tour guide, there's usually one guide in each house. So it goes on a rotation, and so they tell you exactly you know, what times you can go up there. Now, you don't have to schedule it or anything like that. You don't have to call ahead to register or to schedule tours or anything. Basically, you decide when you want to go. You just got to be at the house at that time because that's when that tour guide is going to open up that door to let whoever is standing there ready for a tour to take them on in. You know, if you're not pressed for time, we do usually recommend once you get your tickets in your hand to step on into the video room, and that's going to be where you can watch like an 8-minute video, and it gives you a little bit of background. It was done 10 years ago. I'm probably wrong on that, but it's been quite a while that video was actually made. But it's very well done, and it gives you some great history of the Wilders coming to Mansfield. And the cool thing that never gets old for me is that you get to hear Laura's actual voice on that video. They've pulled her voice from an audio tape of some kind that we've got somewhere in archives, and they've put her voice in it, and it gives me chills, honestly, every time I hear her voice, because I always stop and think, that's Laura. That's her. That's what she sounded like. And
yeah, I'm going to stop you there just for a second. Yeah. If anybody out there hasn't heard that, there is a CD that is that you can get at any of the Wilder home gift shops, but they have it in Mansfield. Yeah. It's called Laura Ingalls Wilder Speaks. And it came out originally as a cassette, so there was a side one and a side two, and the side one is Laura talking. Now, it was done as a thank you for the children who had given Laura the character dolls, the Barbara Brooks dolls that are done for the family, and so they had typed up a script. So she's older and she's reading it. So don't think this is going to sound like a little kid in pigtails, because it isn't. But It's Laura's voice, and I think it is really great to be able to hear that.
Yeah.
And I always really recommend people get that CD, because not only does it have Laura's voice, which is amazing, but I also think it is the best recording that you can hear to hear Pa's fiddle, because it's just Pa's fiddle. There's another CD Mansfield has that has Pa's fiddle on it, and I love that CD. I like to listen to it all the time. It's a tribute to Charles Pa Ingalls, but Pa's fiddle is with what I think is the first bluegrass symphony orchestra. There are so many other instruments. There's a bagpipe in one of them. I mean, it's really hard to hear the fiddle. So I strongly recommend Laura Ingalls Wilder Speaks.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I totally agree.
Okay.
Did you want me to take
we're in the museum
through?
And we've looked at the video.
Yeah, yeah. After you've done that, then you just step on behind the screen. There's a door that takes you into the gallery, and it's a lot bigger than what people actually think. You know, I try to tell them when I'm selling tickets or whatever that, you know, there's hundreds of things in that back room. It's not a small room. And once you walk in there, you know, you're going to see things like Pa's fiddle. You're going to see Bibles that belong to the family, dresses, you know, clothing that they wore, dresses that Laura made herself, Mary's Braille slate, the little chalkboards that they used as girls. You know, Laura saved everything. You know, it seems like today we get rid of everything, you know, so that we can buy something new, but they didn't have that luxury. They kept everything. And so fortunate for us that we have all of those things that she kept that are preserved for everyone coming to see those items. So you can spend, you know, and people, you know, sometimes they call, or sometimes when they're getting their tickets, they'll ask, well, how long should we plan to spend in the gallery? And I tell them, I say, you know, I've seen people run through that thing in 5 minutes, and I've had people that have come through, they spend all day, they take their tours, come back, spend the rest of the day in the gallery, and then they might spend the night in town and come back the next day just to take it all in, because there is definitely a lot of in that gallery to see. You know, when Laura was young, you know, a child, her family, on up until, you know, when she was older. So canes that Almanzo made himself when he got older, and of course he was, you know, considered lame. You know, he had a hard time walking. You'll see, you know, the shoes that he made himself because his foot wasn't quite right. He was considered, you know, a cripple. And so all of those things are in place. Goodness. Oh, a lot of people, of course, ask. Well, they ask about Pa's fiddle, and yes, it's there. And then the other item they ask about is the bread plate. You know, the bread plate that says, give us this day our daily bread on it. And that is in the gallery. So you will be able to see that as well.
Okay. So that's I'm going to break in another couple things. So Pa's fiddle, the best time to go to Mansfield. Now, there are reasons you might want to go at different times, but I don't think there is a question about Mansfield, because you want to go when you can hear Pa's fiddle. There's just no question. You need to hear Pa's fiddle. So if you go for Wilder Days, you can hear them play Pa's fiddle. There's two different times they play it over the course of the fiddle off. So you have to make sure you're there so you can hear both. And also, I think that's one of the best reasons to buy the ticket to the Wilder Dinner on the Friday night of Wilder Days, because they are playing Pa's fiddle there at the Wilder Dinner. and you're indoors and it's nice and the lighting's good and you're wearing a pretty dress so you can get a nice picture with the fiddle, you need to be there for Wilder Days. And the other thing that I really loved, I mean, you've got, there is a lot of stuff in the gallery, and I always hate it when people ask you how long, because it's too hard to say, because it depends on how much time you have and how interested you are. I mean, I was, well, just as an example, I have been talking back and forth with a couple people working on trying to track down the name of the guy who did the little pewter figurines of the Ingalls Wilder family that the gift shops used to sell. And that has been one of my ongoing little things this week. And I'm sure there are lots of people who could not care less about that. And, you know, so we'd be, you know, it would take us differing amounts of time to go through the gallery. So it really does depend. But my favorite thing, my friend on this last trip, my friend's actually the one who spotted it, because I was actually, we were allowed to take pictures inside the gallery, which is amazing. And I got so excited with that. I wasn't looking as good as I normally should, because I was like, my friend pointed it out. The laugh desk that they have, that Laura wrote on the way home using, has $100. Fake $100 sticking out of the side. And
yeah.
I just think that was so clever.
Yeah.
So that was one of my favorite things that you had.
That's funny. It's usually children that notice that little corner piece of that $100. Whoever came up with that idea was pretty much a genius, because it is very clever.
Yes, it is. And it added it onto my to-get list. Now, along with my pennies, I need to get a $100 bill that would have been around in 1894.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
Wouldn't it? That would be awesome. So that just got added to my look-for list.
That's good. But, yeah, you tell me where you want me to go.
Okay, well, so let's talk about going into Rocky Ridge. I think that being in Rocky Ridge Farmhouse, for it not being one of the places in the books, really means a lot to a lot of people. Do you get a lot of strong reactions from people coming through?
We really do. And it can vary. I remember actually when I first started working at the museum, you know, of course that wasn't, you know, a dream of mine as a kid. But when I grew up, and then moved back to Missouri about 8 years ago and then began working there in 2018, I thought, okay, I'm in heaven now. They trained me then to give tours. You know, it was, you know, you're trained, because, you know, they don't just throw you in there and say, well, you know, try to remember what you're doing, because there's just so much. Tours are given by a tour guide that has had training. So we do have a guidebook, everything like that. And then we just kind of learn it on our own. You know, we've done it for so long and so much that, you know, you begin to learn everything, and then we do a lot of reading. And so we do have homework too, because in our off season, we go back and we reread the books. And so we want to have things fresh on our minds. But I remember so well a reaction that I got the first time. I had just been trained in the farmhouse, in Laura's Rocky Ridge farmhouse, and was giving one of my first solo tours on my own without another guide present. I thought I was doing pretty good. It was going pretty smoothly. I remember I had a large group, there was a couple there that it was an older couple, and the lady was actually, I could tell she was from Japan. She was obviously Japanese. Everyone was real quiet and just kind of, you know, mumbling to themselves, you know, and, you know, you'd hear the oohs and the ahs and things like that going through. We got all the way through the tour. I gave a complete talking tour, room by room. And I remember as I was guiding the group back to the back door, to the kitchen, to go out, all of a sudden this woman just stopped. And her husband is looking at her, and I'm thinking, okay, what's happening? And she just started to sob in the kitchen. And I thought, what have I done? I've offended her. I've upset her. I don't know what's going on. And I, you know, just said, are you okay? Is there something wrong? And she just began to tell me, as she was crying, she said she had waited for 40 years to come to Laura's Rocky Ridge Farmhouse. She grew up in Japan. And she said, as a child, you know, just the tough situations that was going on at the time, her mother would read her the Little House books. And she said they could get all the books except Farmer Boy in the Japanese translation. So she actually bought Farmer Boy in the gift shop that day. But she said, standing in Laura's kitchen and looking at her stove, and where she would roll out her dough to make bread or pies or things like that on that countertop, she said it felt like she was home. It felt like she was in a friend's home, and she felt so comfortable because it just meant everything to her. And of course, by that time, I'm crying, and so, you know, I thought, oh, I'm in trouble if my tours are going to end up like this. But I remember that tour so well of that woman, and I realized at that moment what it truly meant to some people. You know, it's just not a historic house to just walk through and hear some facts and, oh, okay, that sounds great, to so many of our visitors. And, I mean, that's just one of many, many coming through there, that it means so much, and they become overwhelmed with the feelings that they begin to experience. So, yeah, it's remarkable what we hear and what we see when the fans come through.
It really is very moving, and I think a lot of people do get that feeling of it being home. The time I had that happen, I mean, I think it was probably because I have been going to the Little House site since I was a pretty little kid. I was probably seven when I went to Pepin Well, you don't care if I sit here and count years, but I was, all right, no. we'll say 7, 8, somewhere in there. And
wow.
So I'm used to the Laura houses and just sort of feeling like I belong there. But the time it really hit me was when I went up to Prince Edward Island to the Anna Green Gables house. And this was, you know, another country. I wasn't expecting that to feel like home. And it did.
Wow.
And it's just such a strong connection. And I think it was through the person and also through reading the books, and they're just it really does make a really meaningful time. Are you ever alone in the house as you're doing it,
as I'm like
doing
just
tours?
One-on-one
well the reason
yeah
well let me explain When I used to volunteer over at the Hoover Presidential, the National Historic Site, and up and worked it up at Estuary at the historic houses, there would be times in between when people would come and you were alone in the house. And I'll tell you, especially when I was volunteering over at Hoover, you just really felt like, I don't want to say that like it's your house, but you felt like you were part of the family as you were just there by your, you know, not with having to talk to other people or anything, but just being in there. Do you get to do that ever as part of your thing, or do you always have other people around?
No. Like I said before, we give tours on a rotation. So like at the farmhouse, you're going to give a tour every hour at the bottom of the hour. So the first tour would be at 9:30. Well, you usually get done. You have about 20 minutes to give your talking tour because the Rock House tour, that first one will start at 10, and it'll always go every hour at the top of the hour. So that way it gives folks that are maybe on a time limit a chance they can take the tour at the farmhouse, and then they've got 10 minutes to jump in their car and drive on over to the Rock House, take that tour, and, you know, then if they've already seen the museum, then they're done for the day. You know, it's entirely up to them. But so when I finish that tour, if I'm at the Rock House and I finish that tour, then I've got roughly 30 minutes, 35 minutes before my next tour. So that's a window that I don't have anything going on. Now, you know, a lot of times there's going to be still people that are hanging around that just want more, you know, that we're walking outside and they're still asking more questions. You know, they just want a little more information, and that's fine. We, you know, love doing that. That's part of it. But during that off time, that's kind of when we have a rest. You know, we're able to step out. We've got our new building that's actually, we're hoping it's going to open when the season does. We're not real sure. The new exhibit center, that's the garage, but that's where our break area is. And so as a docent, we can step into that building and, you know, we've got a place to sit. We've got kitchen stuff so we can get a drink, have a snack, whatever. But honestly, and I don't know what the rest of the docents do, but a lot of times, you know, I'll just hang out in the house for a little while by myself. And, yeah, honestly, I tell a lot of people this, that I become very protective of the house, of Laura's things. And I'll walk around in there and just, you know, even though I've seen those things and seen those rooms hundreds of times, you know, for several years now, it's still, I don't know, it's still just comforting to me. You know, I'll walk in and, you know, of course we don't sit on the furniture, things like that, but we usually have a chair stashed back someplace that, you know, if we want to just sit down in the house, we can. And that's nice. You know, it's nice to just be in there with no one else, and just you just soak it in. You just feel the quiet, and that's really nice. Now, I do get to experience that in the wintertime as well when I'm cleaning in the houses, because, you know, it takes a good period of time because I go room by room cleaning every single thing in the farmhouse and the Rock House as well. So I have that time in there as well. But it's kind of different when it's, you know, I'm walking in there and maybe people will be walking around on the outside taking pictures and things like that, and you can hear them, you know, just visiting outdoors, you know, waiting for the tour. And it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of cool to just be inside the house like that. Yeah.
Okay. So one of my questions was about the best thing in your Laura collection, but it's not the best thing, but I have the most recent thing I added was kind of a cool story. And one of the things in the Rocky Ridge Kitchen is a hand cookie jar that says cookies and kind of fancy script on the front with a lid. And
are you talking the green
on the green one? It's a tan jar with it says cookies on it, but it's over by the tin can things and stuff. And I hadn't really been too interested in finding just sort of everyday stuff from Rocky Ridge. But then I saw that my friend, Nicole Zinga, who used to work in the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum in Walnut Grove, had found one for there. And now I was like, oh, I've got to find that cookie jar. And so I have searched and searched and searched. And let me tell you, there are a lot of brown cookie jars that show up on eBay.
Oh, my goodness.
And I it took me forever. And I found a couple of them, but one of them, they wanted $50 for it with another $60 shipping. So it had sat in my watch list just sitting there because it never made it to the top of things I should spend my money on this month. So there is a consignment store in Iowa City, and we were taking a load of stuff in, and my mom said, well, you don't have to stand in line here to go around and look, which is kind of an odd thing anyway, because normally she wouldn't say that, but she told me to, so I went. And there on the very first display after I got from the part where you bring your stuff in to sell to the stuff mm-hmm. you can buy, there is that cookie jar.
Oh, my goodness.
$17. No
oh.
shipping.
No shipping.
So that is amazingly awesome. And so that is my newest piece that I have for my Laura collection is the brown,
wow.
the tan cookie jar with the writing on it. And
wow.
that is actually a very lucky little plaza thing, because right next to the consignment store is, it's called Crowded Closet. I don't know if other places have them too, but it raises money for, I want to say missionaries, but I don't know that it's necessarily missionaries. But anyway, what they used to call third world countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they had stuff set up. And I was walking around in that store, actually also waiting for my mom after the consignment stuff. And there was sitting in the, I can't remember what it was. Oh, I know. It was that we had found some little plates in there that were international tractor themed that was a Christmas present for somebody, and mom said, well, go look and see if there's any more of those. And I said, well, there's not going to be any more of those. I mean, how many international tractor plates are going to show up in this one store? I do not think it's going to be a huge amount. So I was just walking around these like four things where they have the sort of not regular cheap stuff, not high-end locked in the case stuff, but the sort of middle stuff. And one of the things in there was one of the pewter plates that De Smet sold in the 70s. And I was like, I can't believe this. I mean, this just being in this missionary consignment type place, there is one of those pewter plates. And it was one I didn't have yet.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. And those were just both in the same plaza. That is my good luck area for finding Laura stuff this year. So I was very pleased to get that. It's one of my ongoing goals is, a lady who is actually a professor at the University of Iowa here, and she lives in Iowa City, and she had gone down to Mansfield in the late 60s, and she has a price sheet from 1967, and she gave me a copy of it. So my goal is to get one of everything that was on the order blank in 1967. So I am always getting stuff that is kind of weird.
It's unique.
Yes. So the plates were just meant not Mansfield, but that is my same kind of thing. I always like to get the early stuff that used to be there.
Yes, absolutely. That's great.
So when you were a kid growing up in Mansfield, did you ever go out to the home site much?
Well, I remember I moved to Mansfield the summer before sixth grade. And I had never heard of Laura Ingalls Wilder before that. So, you know, it was crazy that, you know, we just happened to move. Now, my dad's whole family, my dad grew up in the Mansfield, Ozark area. So when we moved there, my first thought was great. We've moved to a new town. I don't know anybody. But being a small town, it was easy to make friends. And they started, we read the books in school. And I didn't think much about it, honestly. I mean, I try to think back, you know, what was I thinking that I just didn't realize this amazing, famous, all-time, all-American lived right here. And it's like I just didn't put it all together for some reason. That very year when we moved there, it was 1974. And that was the first year that we had the Wilder's Day Festival celebration was in 1974. And so, you know, of course, the town was making a big deal about it. It was going to be huge. And so, you know, they would give, it was 3 days long at that time. It was, I think it was Thursday evening, Friday and Saturday. And we got out of school on Friday for the festival. And so they had hay rides on a wagon and a tractor would pull you out to the Wilder home. And you could go through the museum and go through the house and do all that stuff. And I did, you know, I participated. My friends and I, you know, went through everything. And, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, I was interested, but I just wasn't apparently at the point where I thought history's great. This is great. But I thought it was really interesting. I thought, well, this is nice. Okay, this lady wrote these books. We're reading these books. This is where she lived. But, you know, the town just, I mean, at that time, you know, people, it's crazy because people drive through Mansfield now and they're like, well, you know, there's just, why would they move here? There's just not a lot going on. And I try to tell them, I'm like, well, when Laura Almanzo and Rose came here, there was a lot going on. Even in 1974, there was a lot going on. That road, you had to drive through Mansfield to get to the next town. We didn't have Highway 60 at that time, the main road, the highway. And so everyone drove through Mansfield. And so there was a lot of people. There was always activity going on around the square. And that's what Laura experienced during her time there, that you went to town and it was a social event. Well, when I was growing up, when you went to town, it was a social event. I mean, my mom would say, okay, get your clothes on. We're going into town. And so it was a big deal. So, yeah, going out to Rocky Ridge Farm was an experience. It was fun. You know, they had the older museum then there, the Rockland that we just recently tore down a few years ago, and the gift shop and the bookstore, those things were in different locations at that time. So it looked a little different, but it was pretty fascinating to me that, you know, this woman that lived here for so many years wrote these famous books, and I live here in this town. So it was kind of exciting, but, you know, just being a kid, I didn't really comprehend what it meant until I got older. So,
well, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that you got out of school to go to it. That's a pretty nifty thing for they must have really thought it was a big deal.
Yeah. You know, anytime we could get out of school, then it was a big deal, of course. But yeah, the crazy thing was, I think most of us at school were probably a lot more excited. I mean, we were excited that it was Laura's special day, but that was the year that the show aired, Little House on the Prairie, the TV series, aired that same year. And so, you know, it kind of, and I'm sure that's why a lot of the community, a lot of the townsfolks were, you know, talking about that we should really do this year, because this is when the show's starting. So everyone was excited. You know, the whole town, the whole community was excited about Wilder Days and that new TV show that was going on. And so that year was pivotal for Mansfield, I think, just because people were watching the show, and then for them to realize that there's a real town, these places are real, Laura is real, and we can go to these, a really big deal. And you know, luckily, Mansfield used that, you know, to their benefit. And it was just fun. I mean, you know, what I remember is that, you know, yes, we got out of school, but we got to dress, you know, not like we normally did. We would wear overalls, and I wasn't the type to wear the prairie dresses, so of course I had the overalls on. But, you know, downtown it was blocked off. You couldn't drive your car downtown. If you had a horse, you drove a horse or rode a horse or rode a wagon or walked or whatever. And, you know, there was just so much going on that weekend. I mean, it was just thrilling. And you were in Pioneer Days. I mean, that weekend, that was it. You weren't living in the, you know, the world that we have now. You were back in Laura's days, and it was just fun. It was just so much fun.
Well, I am glad that you guys started doing a big event, because Wilder Days is one of my favorite times to get down there, because, like I said, hospital, yeah. And it's just such a great thing. And I'm so glad that you have both of the houses and the museums open and fully restored now, and you can take pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know how happy I was taking pictures.
Well, you along with hundreds of other people, you know, that had always been a difficult thing for us as tour guides and working there. You know, we had to follow policy with what the board of directors had set in place. And of course, those rules had been set up so long ago, and a lot of it had to do with the whole fact of the flash, you know, would ruin and distort and you know, damage the artifacts. So, you know, I think that's why it went into place. And then it just continued. Well, then, you know, I honestly, I don't know all of the reasons. I'm sure there was a lot of them, but, you know, I'm not privy to that information. That's behind closed doors. But they finally reconsidered and talked about that, you know, yes, we have the postcards, but, you know, people want to get personal picture. You know, they want to be standing next to the cutout of Laura. They want to be standing by Laura's stove and get that family photo inside the house and how important that was. And so, you know, at the end of year before last is finally when they reversed that. And it was like they had the board meeting in November, and it was like 2 weeks before we closed for the season. And they said, okay, people can take pictures now. And to tell us working there, giving tours in that house, and we had been giving tours since we'd worked there, no pictures, no videos, don't do it, don't do it. And then all of a sudden, you have people. I remember giving my first tour, and it was the day that they changed the policy, and the word came on the walkie-talkie that, okay, people can take pictures now. And I'm like, what? Wait, how? Okay. And so they were then letting people that were buying the tickets all of a sudden, hey, you guys can take pictures now. And so I remember my first few groups, you know, they'd pull out their cell phones, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what are you doing? You can't do that. Well, I was told I could. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can. Yeah, go ahead, take your pictures. So it was difficult for us to get used to allowing the pictures to be taken. Of course, then we had to, that was a whole nother thing we had to experience of, okay, they're going to want to take the time to be in the rooms to take the pictures. Okay, how are we going to move these tours through in a timely manner while they're taking pictures? So, you know, we've had to really kind of factor all that in to make sure everyone's getting the time that they want and need to get those perfect pictures and still give our tours and everything. But it's all worked out. So we're excited. We're thrilled that people are able to experience that now. So, yeah, that was a huge thing when that was changed to you can now take pictures. Now, still no videos are allowed, but pictures, thank goodness, are now allowed. So,
well, it was really a exciting, happy thing for me that they worked. I knew you were doing the houses, but I didn't know you were doing the museum. So now, having gone crazy taking care of pictures, I need to make a list. So when I get back, I could actually make sure I get decent pictures. Because
right.
I was trying to... Actually, there is one picture in particular I was trying to get, and I don't know that I will ever get it, and nobody really cares, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I want to get a picture of the wall opposite the stove, and two windows there make it very hard to get a picture so you can see what's on those two walls, and I took quite a few, and none of them worked. So,
because you were getting that sunlight,
yes, I want to be able to see the stuff, and it's just like too huge. But I took lots of pictures. Though when I got back, I felt my friend Kelly, who went with me, was. She's not the Laura fan I am, but she was just thrilled to take pictures of the library. And she took, while I was taking pictures of the rest of the house, she was taking pictures of the library. And she got some angles and stuff. It had never occurred to me that might be something to try to get pictures of. So it's good to make sure everybody has a camera.
Yeah, because people do want pictures of different things. I mean, you never know what people are going to want a picture of. And I've seen, you know, Pete and on that bottom step there on the landing between the office and the parlor, standing up there and holding their phone up as high as they can to try to get a picture, you know, of the upstairs landing and the guest room. And, you know, I see them do that, and I think, well, I never thought about that. You know, they can't see it, but, yeah, let me put my camera up there, my phone up there, and just start snapping. And then they end up with pictures of it. So I'm like, well, okay, that'll work.
Well, Michelle, I sure appreciate you coming on, but I think that has been over an hour. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. It's been so much fun. I've enjoyed it very, very much.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. And is there, before we tell everybody happy Laura's birthday and head out, is there anything else you wanted to share and remind people of the name of your book again?
Absolutely. Yeah, my new book. And you can purchase it from our gift shop, the Laura Ingalls Wilder Home and Museum in Mansfield. We sell it online. I'm hoping to get it out to the other sites this season. Burr Oak, Iowa, actually already purchased some of the books at the end of last season, so they've already got them in stock. And then I've already been in contact with the other sites, and so they're reviewing it to see if that's something they want to carry. I hope they will, but, you know, everyone has to make that decision. And then you can purchase it on Amazon as well. So, but it's called Laura Ingalls Wilder's Rocky Ridge Farm, A Detailed Look Behind the Scenes by Michelle Underwood. It sells for $24.99. But there's just lots, it's just loaded with lots of good stuff. You know, all the things that I talked about. One cool section that I'll just tell you real quick that was fun to do. Well, it was all fun, but I talk about the famous people that have come through Rocky Ridge Farm and seen Laura's houses. I mean, you know, we talk about us being Laura fans. There's a lot of Laura fans out there, and you wouldn't even consider that are fans of Laura Ingalls Wilder. You know, you've got, of course, the actors from the television show. You know, we've seen Dean Butler a lot, Allison Arngrim, who played Nellie. Melissa Gilbert came out a couple of years ago and toured it, had a special personal tour. Her and her husband, Tim Busfield, who was on Field of Dreams. I loved him. And we've, you know, the people, it's crazy. Laura Bush, former President George W. Bush's wife. Laura Bush came in 2008. One person I got really excited about a few years ago when we were closed for the pandemic was Bethany Hamilton. If you don't remember who she is, she was Soul Surfer from Hawaii that got her arm bit off by a shark. Yeah, we are shut down for the pandemic in 2020. And sudden, I'm at the ticket desk. There's nobody there. We're just sitting there. And I look over and watch a woman and her husband and two kids walk in the front door. And I'm just, I'm in shock. And I'm like, that's Bethany Hamilton. She's Soul Surfer. And the other girl behind me in the gift shop's like, who? And I Googled it and brought it up. And she's like, are you kidding me? And I go, look, it's her. And so, yeah, she took her family through, and very sweet, very nice lady came from Hawaii to go through Laura Ingalls Wilder's home. So you don't know who's going to come through. Yeah, so that was a fun chapter to write.
Well, it sounds like it. There are definitely a lot of people who had a lot of strong influence on their life by Laura and.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we have the home site so that we can visit and make that further connection. I really do think it means a lot for people to get to visit.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. But, yeah, buy my book and find out all the secrets and the mysteries that we don't tell you on the tours and get all that inside stuff and some of my personal stuff, my personal connections. With the town and with Laura, and I think it's a good book. So, yeah, if you want something you haven't read before about Laura, then I hope that you'll go online and purchase my book.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Michelle, and we are past our time, so. I just want to go ahead and tell everybody that for the rest of this month that I'm going going to definitely get the Mansfield update up. I am planning on doing the Looking Backwards episode, which I am late in doing, but I have the research and notes all ready for it. I just have to get it done. And then I've got a couple of potential interviewees, and we will just have to see if we can make dates work. So I think there's going to be some more interesting episodes coming up. There are also, as I said, YouTube videos coming up. The two that I am trying to get done right now, one is on making Jack Frost pictures on the window with thimbles, and the other one is winding a striking clock. And with any luck, those are going to get up this next couple weeks. And since we were talking about Mansfield, I will also mention that one of my ongoing series of videos is where to drive and why. And I started doing that because I get questions about where there is, what there is to see and what there to do. And so what these videos are is very straightforward. It's like this is all right, you're at this spot in Mansfield, and this is where you drive to find the cemetery. You turn here and here, and this is how you find the graves, and blah 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 blah. And that I did several of those on the Mansfield trip, and hopefully we will get those shared out and then before the new season starts again. And I'm just excited that we had people call right from the beginning of the episode this year. I'm very glad that we did. I really appreciate everybody who called in and who listened and who answered my little question box online. And I hope that you will always remember to right in the corner where you are. And happy birthday, Laura Ingalls Wilder.